May the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart be acceptable and pleasing unto thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
The epistle lesson this morning talks about unity and how to maintain unity. Now, this is not the first time this subject has come up, especially in the epistle writings during the time of Trinity. And so, if it sounds very familiar, that we have heard it, that you think, well, I think I've heard this before, not too terribly long ago. That's true, you have, because it is a reoccurring theme in the epistle lessons of Trinitytide about how the Lord unites us, not just to Himself, but to each other. In fact, one of the ways that someone described the cross one time is you see a horizontal or a vertical beam of the cross which unites us to God. And you see a horizontal beam of the cross which unites us to each other as well. There is a community aspect just as much as there is a heavenly aspect as well. Both of those are very important, and sometimes we fall into trouble of putting one in front of the other and forgetting that it's kind of a both-and relationship, that as we are united with God, we will also want to maintain some type of unity here on earth. As often been said before, we have to get together and we have to love one another in heaven. We might as well start down here as well. Our eternity is going to be a very, very miserable place to be. And so this theme of unity and this understanding of unity comes up over and over again, not only because it's important, but because as humans it's necessary for us to hear it over and over and over again. Psychologists tell us that we need to hear something 7 times before it truly sinks in. Psychologists tells us that we need to hear something... How many times? Okay, well maybe we can only do it once. But 7 times before we truly need to hear it. If anybody has watched Lynn and I with Nicholas, that is a case in point. Because typically we have to call his name 7 times before he ever even acknowledges that we've mentioned. Maybe it's his stubborn-headedness. Maybe it's the Danford part of him. I don't know. But they tell us that we have to hear something 7 times. And so for St. Paul to write over and over and over again, he reinforces this understanding in us that unity is very important. Also, what we can gain from it is just as much as we have trouble in unity today, the early church must have had an issue about it as well. Now, if anything, there are 2 things that I would like for you to take away as we walk through the 7 ecumenical councils in Bible study. The first thing is, there was trouble maintaining unity in the early church. And, you know, whether it be political or theological or kind of a melding of both of those, it is quite obvious that there was trouble maintaining that unity. But what I want to really stress is, notice the number of times the councils go above and beyond themselves to try to maintain that unity. Never once did they just meet and then excommunicate everybody. There was always an option, once something was declared as orthodox or not orthodox, there was an option for those on the outside to recant and rejoin. There was never a haughty understanding of, well, you're out here and we're in here. There was always a chance of, this is the truth, this is what we must uphold and must maintain. However, you are invited to come in. The door is always open. Let us be very, very clear in the life of the church that any time the church has to say to another group of people, you are standing outside the truth, it is not the church that has cast them out. It is the beliefs that they hold within their heart that has cast them out. Because the door to the church is just as wide before the proclamation was made as after the proclamation was made. All we have to do is change and join what is understood to be the orthodox truth, the faith that has been handed down from the saints. Again, each of the councils, of the ecumenical councils, when they end, when they close, they say, we declare ourselves to be in agreement with the other councils that have gone before. They were not creating anything new. They were creating a linkage that said, we are not in and of ourselves saying this is what we believe. We are just maintaining what has always been there.
And so we do the same thing today. And sometimes that is a difficult thing when we look at people and say, what you believe is not correct. But we understand that it is not me saying it. It's not a personal belief. It is not a proclamation of one person above another. We are just making a statement based upon the faith that has been handed down from generation to generation, the faith of the saints that are given us. And we would welcome with open arms anyone who asks to come back in to join this. Because at all times, we have all had to say, I'm sorry for what we believe. We have all had to say, I'm sorry for holding that belief, and ask to come back into the folds of the church. Now, sometimes we may do that in a very big way. We may, as is often said in the tradition that I grew up in, when we leave home, we may sow our wild oats, and so spend quite a bit of time wandering away from the truth of the church, wandering away from the truth that has been told to us. And so we come back in some way. Now, the tradition that I grew up in, typically a revival meeting or something like that, we come back, realize that we've done wrong, and ask for forgiveness. We, in our understanding, realize that we need to do that more often than once every 20 years or once every 30 years. We understand that we pretty much have to do that almost every week. And so we come and we say we are sorry for doing the things that God wants, or for not doing the things that God wants us to do. And we ask to come back. We ask for forgiveness, knowing full well that when the belief is sincere in our heart, that God's forgiveness extends to us. Because you see, whether we have willingly walked away from the church, or whether we have started doing those things that ever so slightly turn us away, we will realize one day that we're in the same boat. We are out here, looking in. But again, the arms of the church are always opening, asking for us to return, because that's what the arms of our Lord does. Now, how do we do this? How do we walk this way? How do we maintain this type of unity? Well, on both sides of the house. And this is speaking to both sides. Those who are in the church, who have always maintained, and those who are seeking to come back. St. Paul says, we do this, A, with all lowliness and meekness. Now, those are two words that you don't hear often. They've kind of faded away from view. And in sometimes have taken a very negative term, especially the term meek. Nobody wants to be meek anymore. However, that is a very, very important term. Lowliness and meekness, the explanation of that is in the parable that our Lord teaches to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees. As He tells them, listen, when you're invited to a party, don't run up and sit right next to the person who invited you. You don't know. Somebody of more importance may come up and then you're asked to leave. He says, take on the personality that you are the lowliest person there. Now, He is telling something that the people would be completely and totally foreign to, because titles were very, very important. And places at the table were very, very important. And oftentimes they knew exactly when they were given a certain title, when they were given a certain place, where they would be allowed to sit. But our Lord tells us all, assume that everybody around there is more important than you. And just go in and sit down. Almost what He's saying is, just be thankful you got an invite. And so as we look at this at the church, most of us, all of us, need to be thankful we just got an invite. Because if we were to look back, we have all done things that our Lord would be completely and totally 100% grateful if He said, thanks, but no thanks, you're not invited to the banquet. But our Lord doesn't do that. He invites us all to the banquet. And so we come thankful that we are allowed to come. And so for those of us who are here, we look to those of us who will come with that same understanding. Thank you for being here. We don't put ourselves over anybody. We don't put ourselves and say, look what I've done. Where have you been? It's just a thankfulness of, just as we're glad that we're here, we're glad that you're here as well. Long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Long-suffering means exactly what you think it means. It means that we put up with one another over a lot of stuff. We are long-suffering. Somebody made a joke one time, and you know, to be honest with you, I think it was Kay Lewis last night, or maybe it wasn't. Anyway, we were talking about marriage and everything, and she said, you know, divorce may not be an option, but murder has come up a time or two. So, you know, you can see that even in marriage, we have to put up with one another. And those are people that we claim to love very, very deeply. Well, if we have to put up with a lot of people that we love very, very deeply, how do we think in the church? You know? We have to put up with one another. We have to put up with, as Canon Cottrell used to say, our idiosyncrasies. All of our little habits, all of our little things that we do, we have to put up with those. That's how we maintain unity. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because that is the goal. But now, it's not unity for unity's sake. Remember at the very beginning of this, I was talking about there is a truth that we have to maintain. There is the faith that is handed down through the saints. There is the belief that this is what truly matters. And we can't just willy-nilly change that whenever we want to suit the needs of everybody around us. We have to maintain that peace. We have to maintain that truth. But we do that in such a way that we are trying our best to reach out, to maintain unity, not to put walls where walls don't exist, and always to let people know that where walls do exist, there is a door with which we can go through. And that door, all it requires is for us to say, I'm sorry, and to receive the grace of God. And even in the bonds of the church, sometimes we have to not only go to God and say we're sorry and accept His forgiveness, sometimes we have to go to one another and say, I'm sorry for what I've done, I'm sorry for what I've said, I'm sorry for the actions or for the attitude. And we accept their forgiveness as well. Again, it's not because I'm up here and you're down here. We all exhibit long-suffering. We all exhibit lowliness. We all exhibit meekness. Because none of us are here on our own devices. None of us are here because of what we've done. We're all here because of the grace of God. We're all here because of what He has done for us. And we're so thankful that we share that with others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.